Hello there. Welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to have you with us today on this Thursday of the 16th week in Ordinary Time. We've got a really special program for you today. Dr. Ray Guarendi will be joining us in a recorded interview that I did on my Spirit in the Morning radio show. I think you're going to really enjoy what Dr. Ray has to say. It's a bit of an extended interview, so I'm going to try to keep the commentary, we'll cut the commentary a little bit shorter, just see how it works out. I do want to read the Mass readings in addition to that interview, and I want to thank you for being a faithful listener of the program. Please remember to spread the word, to let other people know about this show. Let them know that I'm going to be here and beginning. We will be beginning Total Consecration Preparation, Total Consecration to Jesus through Mary. That will be starting on September the 4th. That is Labor Day, so that'll be that Monday. We'll begin and we'll go for 33 days straight right here on the program. Also remember to stay tuned to Following the Truth, followingthetruth.com, for information about my podcast for warriors. That podcast is going to be called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. It kicks off next week. I will have one loaded up on Tuesday. Now, you remember, because you're a listener of this show, you're getting the inside information. Nobody else knows about this yet. Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-I-O-R, let's try that again, patreon.com/GaryZ. That's the place to go. I'll have links for my website when it's all ready to go, but you'll get to see what this podcast is all about. I'm going to ask you to partner with me on this, and you'll see the different levels that you can participate in this project that will allow you to participate in the project. And look, you're going to get a podcast. So if you're a warrior, the only way I can get this done is with your help. So I ask for your support on this. The details will be forthcoming very soon. The details will be forthcoming very soon about this information. So you know the deal. Stay tuned. And as always, if you have a question, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, here's what we're going to do. Let's pray, and then we will begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us to get together on the program today. Father, thanks for being with us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for helping us with all of the issues that we face each and every day. Father, please help us continue to be able to share you with those around us. Sometimes it gets a little scary. We ask for you to give us the strength and the courage to continue boldly proclaiming our faith, because we certainly need to get the word out there. You know, Father, we also let ourselves get so overwhelmed sometimes by the things that happen to us, by the inconveniences of life, and we end up complaining a lot. I want to say I'm sorry for complaining so much. Help us to really appreciate all the blessings that you give to us every day. Above all, the gift of your Son, Jesus. What a great blessing, the greatest blessing. Our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. So thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And please awaken the Holy Spirit in me today so that I may be able to do a good job here and to proclaim your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, here we go. We're getting ready to start. Let's take a look at these Mass readings. And again, stay tuned. Dr. Ray Guarendi will be the guest today. It's a bigger, a lengthier segment than normal, so I want to make sure that I get my part done, and then we'll go to Dr. Ray. The Mass readings for today, which is the Thursday of the 16th week in Ordinary Time. First reading is from Exodus, beginning in chapter 19. In the third month after their departure from the land of Egypt, on its first day, the children of Israel came to the desert of Sinai. After the journey from Rephidim to the desert of Sinai, they pitched camp. While Israel was encamped here in front of the mountain, the Lord told Moses, "I am coming to you in a dense cloud, so that when the people hear me speaking with you, they may always have faith in you also." When Moses then had reported to the Lord the response of the people, the Lord added, "Go to the people and have them sanctify themselves today and tomorrow. Make them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. On the morning of the third day there were peals of thunder and lightning and a heavy cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. But Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stationed themselves at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was all wrapped in smoke, for the Lord came down upon it in fire. The smoke rose from it as though from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. The trumpet blast grew louder and louder while Moses was speaking, and God answering him with thunder. When the Lord came down to the top of Mount Sinai, he summoned Moses to the top of the mountain. The word of the Lord. Now, we see here, as we continue to look at the saga of the Israelites escaping from slavery under the leadership of Moses. Of course, Moses is the chosen person by the Lord. The Lord chose Moses to lead them out of slavery. Tough job, really tough job, but this is what is happening here. The Lord is making his presence known. And I think the message for us, rather than just look at this as a historical occurrence, and sometimes the danger is when you do that, you think, all right, great, that doesn't mean anything to me. That's just something that happened, close to 4,000 years ago. But no, the Lord makes his presence known in our lives. There's a lot of ways that we can encounter him each day. When we pray, we can speak to him and he can speak to us. A little challenging sometimes, but he can certainly do that. When we open up the Bible, every time we open up the Bible, we have an encounter with the Lord. Please don't forget that. So by me reading this Bible passage to you, you just had an encounter with the Lord. And above all, as Catholics, we believe that Jesus is fully present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, so that when we receive Holy Communion or when we pray before him in Eucharistic adoration, we are encountering Jesus fully present there. So you talk about things to be grateful for. There's one right there, the presence of the Lord in your life. It's so easy to forget about him. And that's why I say this so many times, because we don't want to forget about him. We want to remember that he is involved in our lives. The responsorial psalm today, simple one, comes from Deuteronomy or Daniel chapter 3, glory and praise forever. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever, and blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages. Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and glorious above all forever. Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you in the firmament of heaven, praiseworthy and glorious forever. I mean, this idea of praising the Lord, blessing him for his presence in our lives, for the fact that he cares, that's a good thing to do every day. A regular basis, that's something we should be doing. Be thankful to the Lord for his presence in our lives. The gospel today comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Why do you speak to the crowd in parables?" He said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why they speak. I speak to them in parables, because they look, but do not see, and they hear, but they do not understand or listen. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their eyes. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and become converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." A reminder, you know, it goes back, you look at that first reading, the example of God making himself present to the Israelites. Well, we are incredibly blessed in this day and age, in this year 2017, we have Jesus Christ, the full revelation of the Father, totally accessible to us. We can go into a church. Jesus is there in the tabernacle. We can receive him in Holy Communion. It's an amazing gift. It's an amazing blessing that we have. And again, what's one of the big problems that we sometimes encounter? We don't appreciate the great gift that we have of the Lord. So today, try to appreciate the gift of Jesus in your life and make some sort of an effort to encounter him. Talk to him. I mean, you don't have to have a theology degree to have a conversation with Jesus. It goes something like this. Hello, Jesus. Help me to get to know you. Reveal yourself to me. Or open up the Bible and say, Lord, speak to me through the Bible. Open up to one of these readings. Open up to one of the Gospels. That's a great place to start. You can also start in the Old Testament. If you're not familiar with the Bible, I don't recommend it. I recommend the easiest place to start is with the Gospels. The Gospels, our church teaches us, also have a place of prominence when it comes to the Bible. So to simplify that, the Gospels are more important than the books of the Old Testament. They are all the Word of God, but the Gospels are especially important, and they're easier to understand. You can also just read through, if you like, the book of Genesis. Genesis is a great book. You've been hearing a lot of readings from Genesis over the past few months. Now we're in Exodus, but these Genesis, Exodus, some very, very good reading. But I would start with the Gospel, read a couple lines, let the Lord speak to you, or go sit in a church or an adoration chapel and pray before Jesus. Okay, does that sound good? That's really all you need to do. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, the doctor is in, Dr. Ray Guarendi. You're listening to the Gary Zimek Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. General Hospital and Nashville star Jonathan Jackson is a lifelong Christian who's always been open to talking with people from different religious traditions. During an interview, he explained, "A lot of Christians look at Hollywood as the ultimate evil, but for me, it sharpened my ability to love and appreciate people no matter where they're at in their lives. I've always been someone who's believed in truth. I don't believe in relativism," he said. However, he said, "I also believe that the truth must always be spoken in love, and that grace and truth are found in Jesus Christ." Jonathan concludes, "In Hollywood at a young age, I was thrown into an environment where people were Jewish, atheist, Catholic, Protestant. It helped me to try to find Christ within all of these people, regardless of where they were or what they believed in." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Every day on Holy Spirit Radio at 1 p.m., we feature a program The Doctor is In with none other than Dr. Ray Guarendi. Dr. Ray is a father of 10. He's a clinical psychologist. He's an author. He's a professional speaker, and unlike me, and he's also a national radio and TV host. His radio show, The Doctor is In, that airs on Holy Spirit Radio every Monday through Friday, can be heard on over 440 stations and Sirius XM Channel 130. His TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray, is aired in 140 countries. We are blessed today because Dr. Ray Guarendi joins us right now on Spirit in the Morning. Dr. Ray, good morning, my friend.
Gary, I don't understand why you have a show in the middle of the night like this.
Hey, I appreciate it. I know this was hard for you to get up early. Dr. Ray, I've seen you talk many times. You're a great speaker. You're a funny guy. You're a very entertaining person. We love your show. I think a lot of people don't realize there's a compassionate side to you. There's a very soft side. You told a story one time. I heard you at a conference about an elderly Italian gentleman who got his wife a special anniversary present. It was a touching story. I wonder if you would share that with us this morning.
I was at a marriage conference with my Uncle Giuseppe. He'd been married 48 years, and the priest said, "Giuseppe, would you tell these young men how to make a marriage last 48 years? He yeah. said, "Well, you know, you got to do nicest things. You got to make her feel special. You always remember the very special of days. For our 25th anniversary, I take her to Italy." Hmm. A And the priest said, Giuseppe, yo, that's impressive. Now, two more years, you got 50 years. What are you going to do then? He said, well, for my 50, I'm going to go get her and bring her back.
You are a classic, my friend. Love that story. Oh, man, you are something else. Dr. Ray, I want to ask you, you deal with a lot of parents with problems in their children. What would you say, or maybe the top three problems that people come to you with about their children?
If we take the sample, Gary, of people trying to be good parents, all right, let's leave aside those folks whose lives are fractured and they're not involved and they're neglectful. Let's talk about guys like you and me and people trying to raise good families. Okay. Right at the top is disrespect.
Wow.
Snotty tone, snotty comebacks, language that is disrespectful. That is probably the number one thing. That goes right at the heart of the relationship. I look at my clients often and I say, do you hear how she's talking to you? And they'll look at me like it was a revelation.
Well, I
guess, because they've gotten so used to it. I call it the battered parent syndrome. They don't even realize how disrespectful. I tell them, if any other human being in your life talked to you this way, it wouldn't be your friend. Not more than a week or two anyway. So this disrespect is big. Controlling communication via cell phones and social media. It's with us. I don't know. We'll never, ever be apart from it.
Right.
However, most parents dramatically underestimate its shaping power of the child, of the world that it opens up. They do not get proper screening. They will say things like, well, yeah, you know, we have to have contact because she's at home and I want to know what she's doing.
Right.
Why did you get her an iPhone 27 that can get every piece of trash everywhere on the internet? Well, she wouldn't accept the flip phone. Oh, she'd be so upset if I got her a flip phone because, you know, all of her 9-year-old friends have iPhone 27s. That's a huge matter, and it's big because most parents underestimate its impact until they get burned.
Yeah.
That's where it comes in, until they get burned.
Yeah.
So that's a big one.
Well, Dr. Ray, let's talk. Can I talk about that for a minute? You said all of their other friends have these iPhone 27s. Isn't that not fair to not let my child have one because he or she is going to get alienated because they don't have one of these iPhones? What do you say to that?
Resentment has become a problem for good parents.
Yeah.
The kids look all around and say, how can all those people be wrong and you be right?
Yeah.
And the problem with many parents is they're frightened of the resentment. They're frightened of the child thinking that there is, how did I get stuck with you, you Neanderthals? You're so totally unfair.
Yeah.
And that is what happens. And the amount of strength required as a parent to say, this is how we view it. And we may be one in 1,000, but we have to do what's right. Most parents collapse on that, Gary. I'll tell you that right now.
I believe it.
They collapse. Mm-hmm. They may hold out till the kid's 12. You know, the kid started nagging when he was 8, or she was 8. Mostly girls do the most nagging.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time he's 12, they collapse.
Yeah.
Because they said, well, I held out for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's only 12. So that is a real problem. The standing strong against the culture around you is a huge problem.
Yeah, I believe it. Dr. Ray, let me ask you this. I do a lot of speaking, as you know, about overcoming anxiety. It's something I have struggled with for many years. I run into a lot of parents who say, my 8-year-old, my 9-year-old, they are incredibly anxious. They worry all the time. Do you run into that with children as well?
I do run into that, but here is the twist on that.
Okay.
I have found a relationship between a child who is behaviorally a problem, who is challenging or defiant or doesn't cooperate with a parent, and anxiety. I have.
Interesting.
Because, yes, when you spend a lot of time clashing with the people around you, especially the significant people, your mom, your dad, you become kind of agitated. Your whole emotional thermostat is kicked up, and you are more likely to have a sense of things bother me quicker. Okay, so that's one form of the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is this. Some kids are just wired to feel things a lot more intensely.
Yeah.
They just are. Okay,
right.
Got it. When I talk to adults with anxiety problems of all kinds, much of the time they'll say, I remember when I was in the second grade, I just got so anxious about school, I just couldn't go there for 3 weeks. They'll describe a temperament that was there from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
early on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things about anxiety, and I could say this to your listeners, distress is not danger. Anxiety creates a sense of distress, but there's no danger there.
Wow.
Whatever you're feeling isn't going to hurt you. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Some people describe it as quote-unquote terrifying, but the reason they describe it as terrifying is because they don't know how to interpret it.
Right.
They don't know what it is.
Right.
If you explain to them, this is just your body reacting. It's the same reaction as if somebody were to break into your house and threaten you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. The difference is there's no danger here. Most people are anxious over things that cannot hurt them.
Wow.
Even public speaking, which is the number one anxiety producer in our culture,
mm-hmm.
public speaking is not going to hurt you.
Mm.
But what happens is, that's why you and I get the big bucks, by the way.
That's right. well, at least you.
What happens? Yeah. Well, you could be, hey, you are a great lead-in act. You get the frisbees and the beach balls gone. I really appreciate that.
Yeah,
you know?
Anytime, brother.
Mm.
No, and you know, what you're saying is so true, Doctor. And I had panic attacks. I make no secret of that. I was hospitalized. I was in the ER with panic attacks. Most of the things I worried about weren't real dangers, but man, they were real to me at the time.
That's usually what people do, Gary. They head to the emergency room. They think they're having a heart attack.
That's what
they
thought.
They're losing their mind.
Yep.
And sometimes when you get some folks, they go to the emergency room and they get a clean bill of health. They come out and they say, well, no, the doctor's missed something.
Yep.
They missed it.
I've been there.
There was something there.
Yep,
yeah.
You're right.
And typically people start categorizing their life as BA, PA, before anxiety and post-anxiety.
Wow.
When they had their first panic attack, they were totally, totally frightened about the panic. I call it being anxious about being anxious. And what tends to happen is you set up a feedback loop, which is, oh, no, gee, when's that going to happen again? Oh, I hope that doesn't happen again. That was horrible. Oh, I don't know if I could take another one of those. That was so awful. That was terrible. Why would that happen to me? What is going on? Am I losing my mind? And all of these cognitions start spinning in your head because you don't know how to interpret it. But if you truly believed the reality, which is, hey, Gary, for whatever the reason, your body is flaring up, and there's a list of reasons 20 miles long for why this can happen.
Wow.
Fatigue, all kinds of things. I had one once. I had a panic attack once while I was playing ball, and my heart rate was 150. I couldn't catch my breath. It was, and I remember thinking to myself, very disconnected, well, I guess this is a panic attack.
Wow.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
I wondered what it felt like. So I went and I sat down behind a bench, and it wouldn't go away. And I thought, man, what the heck is going on here, you know? I knew it was going to go away because your body runs out of adrenaline. So I thought, well, let me see, wait till this thing passes. I had realized as I analyzed my day that I hadn't eaten for 24 hours.
Ah.
And my blood sugar got so low. But at the time, had I panicked about the panic, who knows where I would have gone with that. But because I was detached, because I said, well, what do you know? I'm having a panic attack.
Wow.
Isn't this wild?
Yeah.
And then it didn't go any further.
Mm.
And I think that's probably the best thing you can tell somebody, which is you don't have to fear anxiety.
That's a great statement. And that's so true because it just builds upon itself. And that's exactly, I've had that happen to me so many times in my life. And you're right. And that fear just takes over. And Dr. Ray, here's another thing. If I could, you and I have talked about this before. When you bring faith into the mix, And I talk about, and I really believe this, Jesus and my personal relationship with Christ has helped me to be able to find peace after many, many years. But I run into people who say, wait a minute, Gary, I worry all the time. Therefore, I have no faith. And then they begin to worry more because their faith isn't what it should be. What would you say to somebody like that?
I wrote a book, When Faith Causes Family Friction.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, one of the questions was, if I had more faith, wouldn't I be less depressed?
Yep.
Wouldn't I be less anxious?
Yep.
Complex matter. A couple of key points. One, again, part of it is wiring.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are just wired more uptight.
Right.
Some people are wired to overthink. They ruminate. Okay,
yep.
the spin cycle in their brain just keeps going on and on and on. So it's not a clean relationship. You know, oh, well, if I were just a holier person, I'd be a calmer person.
Yeah.
Not totally.
Right.
Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is this. You have to find out what are you ruminating about? What is it that is occupying your thinking time?
Mm-hmm.
One of the therapeutic techniques that therapists will use is, what's the worst that could happen? I could lose my job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you lose your job, then what? Well, then I don't know what I'll do. Will you survive? Oh, yeah, I'll probably survive. I guess I'll have to look for another job. Yeah, but it won't be as good as the job I have.
Hmm.
Okay, that could be. In other words, you walk them through
all
of the stuff that you're so desperately fearful of. If it would happen, and the likelihood of it happening is minuscule, but if it would happen, you could deal with it. They convince themselves they can't.
Right.
It's the worst thing that could occur, you know.
Right.
When I go to that radio show, if they came to me one day and they say, hey, great, you stink. Okay, we're taking you off the air. Okay, all right, I wouldn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to sit there and say to myself, oh, gee, oh, gosh. I hope that doesn't happen. You know, I've heard rumors that I stink, and my listening audience of 155 people is not backing me up. You know, so I'm not going to live with that. I am not going to live with that. I've determined that. But you got to walk people through it because they do not walk through it.
No,
they just assume because I worry about it, it's real.
Yeah, and as you're walking us through it, I'm actually starting to feel better listening to you because I've been guilty of doing the same thing. My wife and I homeschool our twin girls, Mary and Elizabeth. They graduated this year, but there were many times that we thought my wife would think, oh no, they're not going to make it, and it's my fault, and I'm ruining them forever, and they will not graduate from high school, therefore they won't go to college, and she takes it. I mean, my wife, she won't get mad. I know she listens to the program. She won't get mad because she's admitted this. She has the girls on the street. They'll be homeless because they won't be able to get a job because they didn't get this one lesson in math, and I think that snowball effect can really take over sometimes.
Well, Gary, as you said at the beginning of our interview, I'm a very compassionate man.
Right.
So I would say to your wife, and you can take this to her for me when she starts thinking like that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You tell her that Dr. Ray said, what a crock.
I'm glad you said that and not me.
She may be listening now.
You know, part of it, I'll tell you, you put your finger on it. Much as we don't want to hear this,
yeah,
there's a component of pride involved.
Mm.
Anxiety has a component of pride. What if my kids aren't successful?
Yeah.
What if I didn't do it quite right? What if they don't graduate from high school? What if one goes to Penn State and the other goes to State Penn? You know, you get this sense of, you know, I have to do this. It's got to work out. But who do you think you are? You know,
wow.
That's what I always say. Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
You know, I tell people, my 10 kids, I got some of them going to serve the church and some of them probably going to serve time, you know?
Mm. Yeah,
I hope not.
That's true though, and I agree with that. It is there is an element of pride that does work into this whole mix. Mm-hmm. Dr. Ray, before we let you go, I know you're a busy guy, and I really appreciate you spending time with us. What's new in the world of Dr. Ray Guarendi? What are you working on these days?
I was dragged kicking and screaming into Facebook.
Oh, it took a long time. You fought it for a long time, didn't you, brother?
Forever.
Yeah,
I'm an old man. I fought it forever.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't like the idea of Well, here I am sitting on the couch talking to Gary Zimak. I would have lost the humility award. You know, so she said, "I'll manage it, Ray. We're going to put up videos to help people with their parenting, with their life, with their family, etc. You let me handle it. You produce the videos." I said, "Okay, Katie, that's fine." And she's done a heck of a job. So that's the latest thing on my plate.
Great. Now, where can we follow you on Facebook and keep up with everything that you're doing?
I have no idea.
It's on Facebook.
How about drray.com, drray.com? Would that be a good place to start?
If you go to the website, I think she has a link to Facebook on there. Yeah, I don't know because I don't go to the website.
I love your honesty. I love your honesty, Dr. Ray Guarendi. And listen, I'm going to apologize if you sound a little tired on the air today at 1 p.m. It's my fault. So thank you for getting up, and I appreciate it.
I'm calling off today, Gary.
Uh-oh. It's my fault. Dr. Ray Guarendi, you're the man. Thank you so much, my brother.
Hi, buddy. I'll talk to you. Bye.
All right.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you so much for joining us on the Gary Zimak Show. That's all the time I have for tonight. Gotta run. God bless you. See you next time. The Gary Zimak Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.